Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 448 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever. And coming up on the show this week, we'll be having a chat with Robert Bowes about his latest artwork, including the charity stuff he's doing for Dog Tag. We'll be having music from Ian Prowse. He's pushing his 25th anniversary version of The Sport of Kings, his second album with Pele, and he's playing in Wolverhampton in the very near future too, so we'll talk to him about that. Glyn Marston's going to let us know about his charity event, which he's got coming up with his wife when they're doing a cycle ride across the country. And we'll be hearing from John Penny about this week's forthcoming Wolverhampton Original Literature Festival. But first of all, the National Theatre bring Hedda Gabler to Wolverhampton's Grand from Tuesday the 23rd through to Saturday the 27th of January. Hedda herself is played by Lizzie Watts, who joins me now. Hello.
Hello there. How are you?
I'm good. I trust we find you well.
I'm very well, thank you, yeah.
Good.
And I'm in snowy Glasgow at the moment.
Well, this is it. You're touring around the country with this one. You never know quite what you're going to get as far as the weather goes. But, I mean, it was when it comes to travelling, you've travelled all over the world, so a bit of snow in Glasgow or Wolverhampton is nothing compared to Russia or China.
That's right, yeah. We actually went from one to the other as well. So I think we went from Taiwan, where it's 30 degrees, to Russia, where it was minus something. So, yeah, I'm used to that now. Yeah.
So you're primed and ready for the weather. But were you ready for this part when you took it on? Because it is quite an interesting role, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, I did have quite a lot of notice, so I had some time to rev myself up to be ready. But also having that much time can rev you up to feeling even more terrified, because there's a certain amount of pressure that comes with taking on a role like Hedda. But I think I was ready, and I hope now I am ready. I'm really, really enjoying it.
Well,
massive challenge, but in a good way.
I can imagine it is, because it doesn't start well for Hedda on the whole, does it, really? Just married, buried alive, and wanting to be free. Tell us more about the character.
Yeah, so when we meet her, she's just come back from her honeymoon, and on the surface, this marriage should seem perfect, shiny, and you'd think that she has everything she wants, but she's already feeling very trapped in the marriage, and that sort of stems back from her feeling trapped in her role as a woman in society as a whole. And she's got married when she probably didn't really want to. She's now expected to have children, which she says she really doesn't want to. And so the play takes place over a 36-hour period, and we sort of see her destruction over that time, and it all sort of revs up to quite a big climax where, well, I don't want to give you any spoilers, but basically we see her destruction and her unhappiness play out on the other characters as well. She's quite a skilled manipulator, so she uses her own unhappiness really to upset other people.
And when it's applied by Ibsen, it can be interesting to come at it from the audience's viewpoint, because with this current production, it's very different to what's gone before.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been adapted by a playwright called Patrick Marber, and so and it's been modernised to a certain extent, but I think the way he's adapted it, he's been very clear, actually, because he's kept quite true to the original writing, which I think is kind of testament to Ibsen's writing. It does still stand the test of time without really being messed around with too much at all. Well, at all, actually. And so there's no, you know, there's no slang in it, there's no swearing in it. We're not suddenly, it's not been made colloquial or anything. It's basically just a very stripped back version of the text, and then modernized in its design, really beautiful design, to bring it to now. But what's so shocking is actually a lot of it's still so relevant today than it was back then in the 19th century when it was originally written.
Absolutely. I mean, fortunately, the role of women in society has been allowed to adapt to be more equal. But still, I think even in society today, we're a long way away from equality in many ways.
Absolutely. And I think, as you say, the circumstances have, of course, moved on. And the idea of not wanting to get married, of course, isn't as shocking as it was back then. Or having children, not wanting to have children, isn't as shocking. But it's still something that we're battling against as women. And even with this, the whole pay gap debate that's going on at the moment, there's definitely still a lot of work to be done for there to be complete equality. And Hedda is really battling with the circumstances that she's been put in and what is expected of her as a woman. And I think we, you know, all women of today can relate to that if they're not conforming in every way to what's expected of us.
And I think that pressure is put on women so much more than the conformity that's expected of lads turning into men as well. And with what girls go through and what is anticipated, it is odd that we even have to talk about that now, yet it's so good to have this text which allows us to talk about it from a different viewpoint.
I think that's a really good point. Absolutely. It is alarming how relevant it still is. We think we have come a long way, but it's great to have it highlighted that actually there's still lots of work to do.
And is it something you've talked about with female friends and male friends have got different reactions to you playing the role?
Oh, I don't know, actually. I'm not sure. I guess I'd have to ask them that. But I certainly, from watching it from the outside, I really, for the first time watching it, related to Hedda more than I had before. And that might just be because of the age I am now is the age of Hedda. But I suddenly saw her very differently from how I'd seen her before. Someone who isn't just sort of a manipulative bitch who just goes around causing havoc and is evil. Not that I ever saw her as evil, but in this version, I think there's a real vulnerability to Hedda that I hadn't seen before, and sort of a lightness to her, and sometimes even maybe sweet, depending on the night. That's the thing, she's so changeable from night to night. And so my reaction to watching her was more relatable than one that I'd had before with any other version I'd seen.
And do you find that as you've been going through the run, you've kind of developed the way you portray her? Or did you have that feeling from the outset and it stayed very much resolute in your mind?
I mean, she develops all the time. I'm finding new stuff literally every night. And I think that's one of the beauties of touring as well, is you're moving to different space every week and to a different audience every week. That really does keep it fresh. And all the actors are really keen to just keep growing with the play. And I think that's very important with a long run like this, that you don't start feeling stale and you don't get into a rhythm of doing it one way. But it's actually impossible to do that even if you wanted to, because she is so spontaneous. Everything she does, she doesn't follow a very logical thought pattern a lot of the time. And it means you can go very far with her. And so each night she is a very different creature, or I hope she is anyway. And that's just like a joy to have a part like that, where you can just keep finding new stuff.
And does that keep your colleagues on stage on their toes a little bit as well? They're not quite sure who they're going to get when they're dealing with you.
Well, I think they're the same. I think that's what's so lovely, is you can play the scene with an actor completely different. Well, not completely differently. They'd be pretty angry with it, me if I did that. But keeping it fresh each time. But I think you should. Hedda is quite shocking. She should. Her behaviour is often quite out of order, and she should shock the audience. But also, it's quite fun then if the other characters should be alarmed by her behaviour. It gives you a real freedom to really go for it. Nothing's too much, really, with her.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be an interesting challenge to see on stage for the audience to get under her skin as she's there, as much as it is for you to bring that across. So it is going to be a fantastic production.
And I hope so.
The National Theatre always do us proud whenever they come to Wolverhampton, and I'm sure you're going to do exactly that when we see you on stage. It is from Tuesday the 23rd through to Saturday the 27th of January. Grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets online, or 01902 429212, the box office number. But for now, until we see you next week, Lizzie Watts, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
In a moment's time, we'll be hearing from Pelé's frontman, Ian Prowse. Of course, Amsterdam and everything else he does too. But we're taking a trip back in time to have a little listen to one of the tracks off the album, The Sport of Kings. He's touring with that as a 25th anniversary re-release, and he'll be in Wolverhampton very soon. So this is Fat Black Heart. Ian Prowse of Pelé and Amsterdam and everything else is celebrating the 25th anniversary of another of his albums. This time it is the second Pelé album, and he's on the line to tell me more about it now. Hello.
Hello, mate.
How are we doing?
I'm very well, yeah, can't complain. Ready to get out there and rock all over again.
This is it, The Sport of Kings, the second album, and according to the blurb, most Pelé fans' favourite of your two albums?
I think that the first album, the Fireworks album, was like our first big statement, and it had like the four pop singles on it. But we really got into songwriting on the second album, you know, and the songs are, they're more mature, they're just better songs, and they've kind of, I think they've lasted, you know, through time a little bit better. Good. The Sport of Kings kind of set me on my way for everything else I did after that, really.
Well, I mean, and we can't complain about that, because it's been a jolly good ride the whole time.
Yes,
but, I mean, interestingly, you got a couple of things that were big hits in Holland and Belgium as well on there.
Yeah, that was always the thing about Pelé, is we had more hits abroad than we ever did in the UK. You know, we'd always be like really disappointed we'd get the midweek chart positions, or we'd get the chart position on a Sunday, and we'd always be just outside the top 40, or it wouldn't cross over, and we'd be really disappointed. Then we'd hear the week after, oh, that's a hit in South Africa or Portugal or, you know, Holland or somewhere. And whilst that is absolutely lovely, and it means the record company think twice about dropping you, you really want hits in Britain so that your friends can hear about it, and much more importantly, your enemies can hear about it.
So this is the thing for me, because as far as I was concerned, you were as big as anything that could be, because I was in Liverpool, as I've said to you in the past. I was at uni during the Pelé days, and I was hearing you on Radio City all the time.
Well, that's it. I mean, because we were on the radio, you know, all the radio stations, we were always on the playlist, Radio 1 and everything, and we had a huge live following. So, you know, for all intents and purposes, it was a great success. It's just that we, in terms of sales, we didn't actually cross over enough, really, and that's hence why the whole thing kind of fell apart, I guess,
but
in about 1996.
These days, those radio plays would have counted towards a chart position, and you would have been as chart successful as you deserved.
Oh, Jace, don't start me. Honest to God, you know. Somebody said to me the other day about one of my songs, Amsterdam song called Home. He said, I think it's one of the best songs I've ever heard. How do you feel about it, the fact it wasn't a worldwide hit? And I just said, if I stopped to think about it and considered it, I'd just jump in the Mersey, and that would be the end of me. You just carry on. You just carry on and write some more songs.
And they are popular as ever. And this tour, because you're playing in Wolverhampton, 23rd of March, Friday night again. You like your Friday nights in Wolverhampton, the Slade Rooms, don't you?
Oh, do you know what? It's always like full of people singing along, having a good time. And the last one, you know, we had over 300 people there, all going mad and singing along to every word. So when I said, we're going to go out and do a classic 1993 Pelé set with Fat Black Heart and The Pain of a Drinking Song, as well as all the Fireworks songs we'll be playing as well, and all the Amsterdam songs. I said, I definitely want to get back to Wolverhampton, because I love going round to the Posada as well for a little drink before we go on stage. You know, that little pub. That's my favourite little boozer in the whole of the UK, I think.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, this year I've got to try and get to the gig, because last year I was working and couldn't do it. But
okay.
Because I'm actually there. I'm actually playing the Slade Rooms, kind of, this weekend with John from Ned's Atomic Dustbin. And,
oh, brilliant. I know they're going out. I was speaking to Miles on the phone the other day, and they're going out on tour together, aren't they? So Miles, I know he's really looking forward to doing that.
I'm not sure whether I'm allowed to say, but I reckon Miles is going to be there on Saturday night as well. So.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure he will. Yeah.
I know he is, but I'm not sure whether I'm allowed to say he's going to be there for the thing that John's doing. So John's trying to write his memoir.
Don't mention it then.
No, I won't mention that. But with John trying to write his memoir, is that something you've been tempted to do? Is there a book out there, or have I just missed it?
Well, do you know what? It was my birthday last week, and I went away to Madrid for a couple of days. And I got back, and Miles, God bless him, he'd sent me his two latest books as a birthday present. So I've been reading all about the rise and fall of the Wonder Stuff for the past couple of days. And it's weird, because he's a really close friend, so it's to be involved in his life and read about it and be his mate is odd. But it kind of does make you think, well, I wonder, I wonder if anybody would be interested in my trials and tribulations. They're pretty similar, to be honest. You know what I mean? I've murdered with the record company. To begin with, you're really pleased to get signed, and there's trouble with the record company, and then there's trouble with band members. So you might as well just read Miles's, because it's exactly the same.
Just Miles for Ian every once in a while, and you've got the general idea.
Maybe one day I'll do it.
I should think so, because even if it doesn't sell nationally, it'll definitely sell in Liverpool, because you've got a good fan base up there, and Wolverhampton loves you as well. So, you know, we're going to want to know what you've been up to. So that'll be good. So what else are we looking out for? Because is there anything new on the way too?
Yeah, well, when we do the Support of Kings tour, that'll kind of be the end of doing a couple of years of revisiting and celebrating my Pelé records, you know, and all those songs I wrote for Pelé. But behind the scenes, we've been making a brand new album along the way. And I've had a couple of Pelé members play on that, and some other people, and it's a really strong set of songs. So that's the thing that really gets me excited, is this brand new album. So that'll come out at a later date, but about halfway through that.
Well, you better send me some tracks off that as soon as, so we can get them on air.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, mate. No problem at all.
Fantastic. Well, to get your tickets, nip along to amsterdam-music.com, and you can find all the stuff on the Sport of Kings album on there. Follow the links, get tickets, come along to the gig. And make sure you're down there at the Slade Rooms on Friday, the 23rd of March. It's going to be a busy one. You've got a mad week looking at your tour schedule as well, haven't you?
I know. But I love it, you know, because if you come and watch us, you're going to get 100% dedication. You know, I still... halfway through the set, I still feel the great presence of Joe Strummer flowing through me, and I never give it anything less than 100% when I'm playing. So, you know, bring it on.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to the gig. I'm going to try and black tickets. Right, everybody else, buy them. Come along, see Ian and the Sport of Kings tour. It's going to be fantastic. Pelé in full effect. Cheers, Ian. Speak to you soon, mate.
Thanks very much, Chase.
Mistress is gone away. I saw her in a cafe bar late last night, where she was holding hands and kissing your beautiful young wife and singing songs, dancing on tables. You and I, only lonely. The radio's on and I'm losing control. The sights that I've seen are a joy to behold. It's all I be you. I've never been away from England for this long before. Hey, Mr. Commentary loves you so much. You are the real, the one and only, only Lord Jewel. I got a feeling that it's just how I deal. I got a sense the wind is blowing back for France. You sang your songs, you danced on tables, talking words like session is dead. Long before.
Robert Bowers is always a busy man. Not only had we spoken to him a brief while ago about Sick Boy when suddenly Albert and Gertie were launched into the world, but also I've seen a load of punk bobs as well. To tell us more about what's going on, he's on the line now. Hello.
How do you do, Jason?
Yeah, all good.
Yes, all marvellous.
That's smashing, that's why we like it. So, I'm impressed with the punk bobs. Some little silver fellas with some quite amazing haircuts have suddenly started appearing.
Well, there's going to be more of them. There'll be another series of them.
So, the things you get up to. But, Albert and Gertie, that's one that you've put together, and it's all in a very good cause.
Well, Albert and Gertie all came about a dog called Elsa, mm-hmm. who was found and mistreated, and she was on the brink of death. Anyway, I'm working with a team called Dog Tag, and they go out and look after and find poor dogs who've got, like, ill health or in distress or not looked after. So I thought I'd come up with something to raise money for Dog Tag, who do such a fantastic job.
And there are mugs, there are cushions, there's been artwork, some sculptures. It's a full-on range.
It's everything. But the proceeds go to this to help the dogs, really, basically.
So if people want to get their hands on these, it's through dogtag.org.uk is their best way of doing it?
Yes, or on Facebook. Just link me up on Facebook, and then I can pass you through to wherever it goes.
But yeah, Dog Tag on Facebook have also got links to the series as well. And, of course, Albert and Gertie have got their own Facebook pages too.
Yes, and there's going to be some more adventures of Albert and Gertie in the time to come. They're going to be visiting different places.
So look out for Tell Albert and Gertie, G-R-T-Y, and you can find out more on that one. But you've got this, you've got everything else that's going on. And what other bits of artwork should we be looking out for you as we're heading through into the early part of 2018?
It's going to be a lot of Sick Boy stuff, a lot of punk bobs and weird stuff. and then a bit later on, I'll be working with a mate of mine, Phil Baylis.
Right. And what have you got planned here?
Well, he's an amazing metal sculptor.
Yeah.
And then we're getting together and creating, well, see what comes up.
This is the thing, you never know quite what you're going to get until you started creating it, do you?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's the best way, though, Jason.
Yeah, it keeps everybody guessing, and it makes it a bit more fun for you guys.
Well, it keeps us guessing as well, if I'm honest.
And have you got any big public sculptures that are going to be unveiled in the near future you can talk about, or are there still things under wraps?
There's only the Tattoo Awards.
Yeah.
I'm doing them for April, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No public sculptures as yet. To be honest, I'm kind of glad.
Yeah, because it does take over your life and does mean you don't get to do some of your other projects, which can be a little more fulfilling more quickly.
They don't allow me to play.
Yeah. It has to be a bit serious and grown up.
Yes.
The thing is, you do it so amazingly well. This is the reason they want you doing them, though.
Yeah, but I don't like it, Jason. I like to play.
It's a bit of both. You've got to have a balance in these things, haven't you? So that's all part of the fun. So basically look up Dog Tag, find out about Albert and Gertie, and have a good time with that. And we look forward to seeing more from you and Sick Boy as we head through in the next couple of months. And, of course, those punk bobs that just started to appear too.
Brilliant, yeah. There'll be more punk bobs on the view.
Okay, look out for Robert Bowers on Facebook, and also your website is...
Robert Bowers on Facebook, basically.
Is where you want to be. Because I know we have the Robert Bowers Fine Art pages out there as well somewhere too, don't we?
Yeah, there is. I'm not sure, Jason, there's so many.
You can't keep track of it, you're everywhere.
Yeah. You know what I'm like.
Yeah, just way too busy, I think, but there we go. Well, that's all good. Robert, always good to talk to you. Catch up with you soon, and we look forward to the next bit of artwork appearing in the near future.
Bless you, Jason. Thank you, sir.
basement chat with folded arms while people try and say their fellow friends say, hey, does this train stop? Does this train stop on Merseyside? Whoa, hey, does this train stop? Does this train stop on Merseyside? Whoa, hey, does this train stop? Why don't you remember? Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. So why don't you remember? Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Why don't you remember? Hey, does this train stop?
Friday through Saturday, the 26th through to 28th of January, the Wolves Original Literature Festival returns. To tell us more about some of what's going on, because there's so much of it, we couldn't possibly talk about all of it here, we have John Penny. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
So it's massive this year.
It's enormous. We've got 95 events at last count.
Okay, it's now impossible for someone to go to all of the events as part of the Literature Festival, but they've got so much to choose from, they're going to be spoiled for choice.
Well, they are. You know, we've got all kinds of things going on. We've got workshops and talks, stand-up, poetry, you name it, you know. We've got columnists coming in. Mm-hmm. We've got plenty of authors coming in. So we've got a lot of good stuff. Highlights-wise, it's unfair, really, but we've got Will Self. Mm-hmm. We've got Don Powell, the Slade legend.
Yeah.
We've got myself, less of a legend. We've got...
well, we'll talk more about you in a minute.
Yeah, we've got Lindsay Hanley, who's a columnist for the Guardian. And just an absolute plethora, you know, there's stuff for everybody. I'll list you the venues if you'd like.
Yeah, well, because it is across the whole city, isn't it? From the lighthouse through Newhampton, through everywhere. So I'll let you do that.
Absolutely. So to cram 95 shows in, we've got the Slade Rooms, we've got Newhampton Arts Centre, we've got the Lighthouse Cinema, we've got the Grand Theatre, we've got the Arena Theatre, we've got Bantock House. We've got Wild Bites Cafe.
Yeah.
You know, I will have forgotten somewhere because there's so many venues.
But I said there are some to host all of that, and it's a length and breadth of the city, and it's going to be absolutely fantastic with the array of things on offer. But someone like Ian Billings doing his talks through to the stuff that you're going to be doing. I mean, to take Literature Festival seriously, you should be writing a book halfway through it, and that's kind of what you're doing with the event that we're actually both involved in.
Well, you know, it made me chuckle because it wasn't that long ago we were looking at how well things were doing, how well the tickets were shifting for the ticketed events, and Phil, the organiser, turned around to me and said, "Doing pretty well, really, John, to say that you're probably one of the only people at the festival who hasn't written a book." And I haven't yet.
But the plan is that it's going to come out of this. So tell us the name of the event.
Well, the event is called John's Atomic Memoir Will Not Write Itself.
And this is covering the fact that you can't really be bothered doing any work yourself ever. No, because you... Well, okay, maybe it is.
Yeah.
And when it comes to you're so busy in the rest of your life, writing a book is just difficult to fit in. And it's about time we had something on paper. There's so many great books from around the world of rock and roll. And the indie scene really deserves to have even more stuff written about it because they were great times.
They were great times, and it's kind of, I guess it's part of my chemistry and maybe a black country chemistry as well, to kind of underthink those things and kind of not sort of talk them up too much to yourself or to other people. But, you know, it's a cliche in my office. Someone will say something and suddenly, oh, John's rock and roll stories, and out comes something about something that occurred, you know. And... you know, I'm not going to sell loads of books. That's not the idea at all. But my kids might think, well, what did my dad get up to that made such a fuss, you know? Mm. And there are some things in there that I think people might be interested in. But yes, I am a slacker. Yes, I am a procrastinator. I don't have a massive amount of faith in my own memory. But I think there's stuff going to be worth telling people about. And, you know, part of the fun of what I'm trying to do with this event is I'm trying to find out what people actually want to know about as well.
And what they know and what they remember from around that sort of time. Because we had a great time last year as part of the Literature Festival, having a chat and looking back at some of the memories you have got still whizzing around in your head. And, of course, that came off the back of books which have covered that era, but nothing specifically Ned orientated. And you're taking it one step further by providing a bit of a gig too.
That's right. So, I mean, we thought, well, if we're going to milk people of their interest, we need to incentivise a little bit. Mm-hmm. And we kind of thought, well, you know, if you take random questions for a couple of hours, it's going to be a bit strange. It's like, oh, John, why did you split up? Oh, John, what was it like at the start? It's difficult to kind of structure. So we thought, okay, let's...
Mostly it would be about your hair care products anyway, I'm sure.
Well, I would have thought so.
Yeah.
So we thought, okay, we can't do a full band thing. Let's try Ned's Acoustic Dustbin and see what comes out of it. This particular format of Ned's Acoustic Dustbin, which is just myself and Rat, you know. Mm-hmm. There may be other formats in future with other members involved, you know what I mean? But we thought, okay, let's play the chronology of Ned through songs, and we'll pause in between songs and we'll talk about certain times in history and certain songs and things that kind of fly off from that period and that song and that kind of inspiration of what was going on at the time. Mm. And we just thought it's just a way of structuring it, really, but also a kind of novel way of doing it, and a nice way to kind of revisit the real kind of bare bones of the songs that we wrote.
Mm-hmm. So a trip down memory lane for the music for you, a trip down memory lane for everyone talking about it, and the opportunity to drop in with questions at the event. And I'm going to be trying to keep everyone under control and making sure that they ask the right questions at the right times.
Good luck with that.
I know it's going to be interesting. We'll see how this works out. But it is going to make it a great evening for anybody who loved that whole music scene from the time. And I was, doing my sixth form stuff and doing my A-levels, and we were surrounded by your music, that of your peers as well. So I'm very much looking forward to the event itself, so that should be absolutely brilliant. What are the details for that one, because I know you know all the details on this one?
Well, that one is on Saturday the 27th. Mm-hmm. It's at the Slade Rooms and the doors open at 8 o'clock, and we'll be talking through till I guess about 10:30. We'll have a nice interval, and it's just going to be a fun night. I think we'll have a bit of a get together and a bit of a 90s loving and hopefully a bit of laughter will come out of it. And we'll all enjoy ourselves.
It should be rather a treat, which is going to be absolutely fantastic. But then the whole Literature Festival is going to be brilliant too. So there's paid events, there's free events, there's long events, short events, and there's going to be everyone trying to work out how they can fit all of this into their diaries over the 3 days. So where do people find out more?
Well, people need to go to the website, which is wolvesliteraturefestival.co.uk, and everything is there.
So nip along to the website, wolvesliteraturefestival.co.uk. You can find out exactly what's going on and have a great time on that 3-day festival.
Yep, let's have fun.
Coming.
25th of June, as a very special cycling event raising funds taking place. It is Sea to Sea, going from Whitehaven on the northwest coast to Tynemouth on the northeast coast. It's raising funds for Bloodwise. To tell us more about the husband and wife involved, we have the husband, Glyn Marston. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, and I trust that you're ready in training for this one, because it's going to be a bit of a trek. But that's probably more important for your wife, Angie, than it is for you.
It is, yeah. She's got into cycling, obviously, because of me taking and cycling. And, yeah, she had a bit of bad news in the family almost 2 years ago. Her father died, blood cancer. Not long before we were due to get married as well, I may add. So she's overcome an upset quite well, and it's also been something positive and something good in her dad's name.
Yeah, so something good's got to come out of this, and that is raising funds to hopefully help reduce the number of people who do lose their lives to blood cancers. And you're doing a 140-mile ride over one of the most gruelling routes across the Pennines. And this is her first long-distance bike ride, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's really amazing because last year I took part in the London to Edinburgh back to London bike ride. I got halfway and my left hand became completely numb because I damaged my ulna nerve.
Mm-hmm.
She was sort of marshalling a stop point near the Pennines, and even though the terrain, she knows what the terrain's like, she knows what the hills are like, but she still wants to do it. So she knows exactly what she's got to face, but she still wants to take on the challenge. She's amazing.
Well, it's going to be 5 days and four nights. There's quite a lot of work to be done to get yourselves ready for that. And as I say, it runs from Monday the 25th through to Friday the 29th of June. And that's going to be arrive in Newcastle and then work your way across. So it's going to be a challenge. It is all for a good cause. And people can start supporting now through the Just Giving page, can't they?
That's right, yeah. It's www.justgiving.com/AngieMarston.
So AngieMarston. And you can go along there. You can get the full story. It'll tell you more about it. There'll be some pictures too. And of course, through there and the links from that, you'll be able to keep people in touch on how it all goes through as you go from sea to sea, across country, across the Pennines. Well, proud of you both for doing it, and really pleased that you're going to be able to raise some good money for the charity. And hopefully do some very good work with a 140-mile bike ride. So give us that website once more.
It's www.justgiving.com/AngieMarston.
So get involved, get online and make a donation, and hopefully you can gift aid it as well and make even more money for the charity. But Glyn, good luck with the training. Keep in touch with us, and we want to hear how it's all going in the run-up to the big start of the full 140-mile ride. Okay.
Yeah, we'll keep up, guys. Thanks for the support. Thank you.
Absolutely. Cheers, Glyn. Townsend. Ciao for now. That's all for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Back with episode 449 next week. I'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the mill bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the mill bar. Yeah.